Welcome to the Christ the King podcast, where we are your podcast for the congregation, community, and beyond, leading you in the scriptures and prayer at your dining room table when you can't make it to the Lord's table on Sunday morning. I am Pastor Michael McGinley of Christ the King Lutheran Church here in Spencer, Iowa, a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we're coming to you this morning on Sunday, July 12th. And in Matins this morning, we will be observing the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, proper 10a. Now, last week, we heard in the gospel lesson where Christ praised the Father, saying, "I thank you that you hid these things of salvation from the wise and understanding and revealed them to infants." Well, today, we hear Christ doing the same thing. He hides the things of salvation from the world as he teaches his church in parables. And the parable of the sower is what we'll hear this morning. And it's the first parable of what in Matthew is called Christ's parable discourse or parable teaching. Now, this is the third of five discourses in Matthew's gospel. And we'll be hearing from this discourse in the next few Sundays that follow. So we'll be having a few Sundays where Christ is teaching us in parables. And this first parable, the parable of the sower, is important because it is key in understanding all the other parables that will follow, which we'll hear this morning. The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah, showing that the word of the Lord does not come back to him empty. It does what God wants it to do, which relates very well to the parable of the sower. And the epistle continues to be a continuous reading through the book of Romans. With that, we'll begin our matin service this morning with hymn 901 from the Lutheran service book, "Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty." O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. O come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our maker.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O come, let us worship the Lord, for he is our Maker. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. The Old Testament lesson for this sixth Sunday after Pentecost is written in the 55th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 10th verse. For as the rain comes down and the snow from the sky, and doesn't return there, but waters the earth, and makes it grow and bud, and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing I sent it to do. For you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills will break out before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, the cypress tree will come up, and instead of the briar, the myrtle tree will come up. It will make a name for the Lord, for an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. O the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God. For you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. We continue with hymn 820 from the Lutheran Service Book, My Soul Now Praise Your Maker.
Thank you.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Alleluia. O Lord, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes gathered to him so that he entered into a boat and sat. And all the multitude stood on the beach. He spoke to them many things in parables, saying, Behold, a farmer went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and devoured them. Others fell on rocky ground, where they didn't have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. When the sun had risen, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked them. Others fell on good soil and yielded fruit. Some 100 times as much, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the farmer. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown by the roadside. What was sown on the rocky places, this is he who hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When oppression or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. What was sown among the thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What was sown on the good ground, this is he who hears the word and understands it, who most certainly bears fruit and produces, some 100 times as much, some 60, and some 30. This is the gospel of our Lord. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Alleluia. For therein do I delight. Alleluia. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Alleluia. 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 Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. We continue with the hymn 577 from the Lutheran Service Book, Almighty God, your word is cast. We begin our sermon this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Pilgrims first arrived in America, as it came to farming, they came only with two things: many tiny seeds of grain from the New World, and the knowledge of English farming. No horses, no plows, just the seeds and the farming that they were used to. They soon realized, though, that in the New World, they were no longer farming in English soil. Instead, they were on the shores of Massachusetts. As they sowed their first crop, they quickly came to find that this was not the rich English soil that they knew of or were used to, but this was shallow, sandy, rocky ground with a hard bedrock, so that the crop couldn't take root. It couldn't get water. It starved. The crop became hard to sustain. There was little yield. Had they not soon learned how to farm in the New World from the natives there, and from them how to find better soil, well, those Pilgrims might not have survived. Now, those Pilgrims may remind us of the sower in our gospel lesson today, because he's sowing wherever he goes, not paying attention to the land he's sowing on. And so it seems that the sower needs to ask himself the same question that the Pilgrims did, which was, what makes the good soil good? As Jesus teaches us this parable, we're like the Pilgrims in that we first learn what is not good soil before we learn what is good soil. And Jesus teaches us of three types of soil that are not good soil. That's how he starts, when he says, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Then Jesus goes on to explain, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, it doesn't take a farmer to see this one, to see what Jesus is talking about. If you go out to sow a crop, you wouldn't go out in the middle of the highway or the gravel road to do it, because you know the seed on the path would just sit there. It would do nothing. And then it would be trampled on, driven over, or eaten. So Jesus, in this parable, uses the obvious to explain something more. That he himself is the sower, sowing the word of the kingdom upon men who are a path, who are a road. The kingdom comes to these men as the word of God is sown upon them. But since they don't understand it, the word just sits there on the surface of the heart or the surface of their ears, doing nothing. So that without understanding, the seed never enters the soil. And so just as a bird sees a seed, his food, in the middle of the road and can't help but fill its belly, so the devil sees the word sitting there and, wanting to defend his kingdom in this world, he snatches it away and replaces the seed with love of self and the wisdom of the world. Without entering into the soil, without understanding, the word produces no fruit in men who are the path. So the sown path is like the man who receives a Bible but never has it taught to him, is never catechized. The word he sees on the pages of Scripture means nothing. So that where we, the church, fail to catechize and to teach, the devil steals the word away, and this man is instead trampled on by the world. Or for us in the church, how many Sundays do we come in, sit in the pews, and let the word of God go in one ear and out the other, so that we don't even remember what we heard 5 minutes after the service? And it could be for any reason. It could be that we let it go in one ear and out the other because we think we've heard it all before and don't need to hear it again, as if we graduated from all this after our confirmation in junior high. Or it's because we think we know more than the scriptures say. Or it's because we think that we just don't care enough to pay attention. What we're doing is letting the word come to us, but embracing our hearts of stone and our sin instead, and not letting the word enter in. And we think it will always be there on the surface when we choose to want it. When we're foolish enough to think that the devil won't steal it away in a moment. And when he does, we're completely blind to it. And so the path, the road, the man who hears the word but doesn't understand it, isn't good soil, because no seed can bear fruit there. Then Jesus goes on to tell us of another type of soil that is not good soil. When he says, other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. What Jesus describes here is like the soil the pilgrims found when they first arrived in New England. Yet again, Jesus uses the obvious to explain more, that he is the sower sowing the word of the kingdom on men who are rocky soil. The kingdom comes to these men as the word of God is sown upon them, and they immediately spring up. That is, they get excited. They're enthusiastic. They bask in the attention of being the newly welcomed into the church. They may last in the church for just a few days, maybe a few weeks or months, maybe a number of years. They could be the newcomers that we look at and think, oh, within a month or two of them joining, that they could be good elders, board members, even pastors, because we don't check to see if their faith has been tested. They are in the church for as long as their faith isn't challenged, though. And while they're there, they look great. But then tribulation and suffering and persecution comes. The world begins to confront them on their faith in Christ's teachings. The world comes and says, love is love. You're just a bigot and a homophobe. Which are words that make men who are rocky soil wither immediately. And then they fall back on things like, no, that isn't me. God is love and tells us not to judge. It's okay. Or the world comes and tells them to take a side with people like Jack the Baker or Little Sisters of the Poor. And instead of standing up for their persecuted Christian brothers and sisters, the men who are rocky soil become embarrassed to be associated with them because of the persecution of the world. And instead, they join the world in ridiculing those persecuted Christians. Without letting the word take root in their hearts, these men either leave the church or change their theology. They try to change the words of Christ to accommodate the world, becoming Christians in name only. The only remains of their faith are the scorched, burnt stalks of seed, which grew quickly. So the rocky ground, the man who receives the word with immediate joy without any root, is not good soil, because without a root, the seed cannot produce any good, sustained fruit until the reaping comes. Then Jesus goes on to tell us of the last type of soil that is not good soil, when he says, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Then Christ explains, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. For anyone who sprays their crops for weeds or weeds their gardens, this is obvious. Yet again, Jesus uses the obvious here to explain more, that he is the sower sowing the word of God on men who are thorny soil. The kingdom comes to these men as the word of God is sown upon them. And these men hear it. They understand it. The word enters into their hearts. But they let the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches enter into their hearts as well. So the good and bad seed enter into the soil, and they both grow together. Now the picture here that the Greek text gives is of the plant growing and the thorns from the roots wrapping themselves around the plants until the thorns grow stronger and taller and choke the life out of the plant, so that with men who are thorny soil, the word of God grows in their hearts alongside the cares of the world and the lies of riches. But as we've heard before, man cannot serve both God and money. We cannot have two masters. The good and bad seed cannot continue to exist together. So the cares of this world, like kids' sports on Sunday morning, and the love of money, grows more than the faith. They become stronger and taller until the faith is choked out. And well, then coming to church no longer makes any sense. So that the only thing left of the seed of faith are the remnants of a dead stalk overgrown by tall thorns. The thorny soil, the man who embraces the cares of the world and the love of riches more than the word, is not good soil, because the seed cannot survive to bear good fruit until the reaping comes. And so we have it here. We have learned that the good soil is not a path, it's not rocky, and it's not thorny, because none of these types of soil produce any fruit. The problem is, though, that we know that we are often the soil that refuses to hear the word, or becomes lazy in hearing the word, or that withers at persecution, or that worries more about the cares of this life than the life to come. The problem here is that we know these types of soil often describe us. Then finally, Christ tells us what the good soil is. He says, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Christ explains, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another case, 60, and in another, 30. Well, actually, here Christ tells us about the good soil, but not what makes the soil good. What is it that makes us good so that we can receive the word of God and bear fruit? What do we need to do to not be the path or the rocky soil or the thorny soil? Well, we do what John the Baptist called us to do when he made way for the Lord. We repent. The law of God works on us. It tills the soil of our hearts. Tilled by the law, we no longer are hard-packed soil to be trampled on. But instead, we're soil that can let the seed in. Tilled by the law, all the rockiness is removed so that the seed can take root. Tilled by the law, all the thorns are pulled and removed so that the seed can mature and come to bear fruit. That is what God is doing as we meditate on and pray the Ten Commandments, as we come to private confession, as we confess our sins before each other at the beginning of the church service. The soil of our hearts are tilled as we return to the waters of baptism where God drowns the sinful man and makes the new man to rise. All this is God using his law to till the soil, like John the Baptist preparing the way, so we may receive the seed of the sower. And the sower is now here, sowing wherever he walks, no matter the soil beneath him. Just as preachers preach to anyone who sits before them in the pews, because no ground can bear fruit unless Christ sows the word. And before he has sown anything, the sower first had us tilled, so that he takes upon himself all the trampling of the world, all the rockiness, all the thorns and thistles. He takes our sins of laziness and hearing the word, of failing and persecution, of greed. He takes all of that upon himself. He took all the evil which was tilled out of our evil hearts onto himself. so that with the thorns of the world wrapped around him, as the world trampled on him as he was mocked while he hung on the cross. There he died on the cross for you and me as the life was choked out of him. But this seed, this plant that died for our sake, did not remain dead. He rose from the soil. He rose from the earth, not as a weak plant, but as a mighty tree, a tree that stretches into all the fields of the earth as he works through his church and ministers to sow the word all over the world, scattering the seed of his forgiveness, which he earned for us on the cross. So that now he sows the word upon every type of field. He sows it in all men, because that is who he died for. And for the soil, which was tilled by the law through repentance, Christ sows the word of his kingdom, where it grows and produces fruit as he desires. Notice through all this, the field does nothing. It's tilled. The word is sown in it. The sower then waters what is sown in the baptismal waters which flowed from his side. And then by the work and merits of the sower, the field bears fruit, in some cases 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold, however much the sower desires. Because you see, this is what makes the good soil. It's a heart tilled to repentance by the law of God, so it may receive the forgiveness of the word and then bear fruit. Christ ends his parable saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." That is, the tilling of repentance and sowing of the word is not a one-time thing. If we are to produce good fruit until the reaping comes, then this must be a constant thing. So then Christ encourages us here to look at the cross and continually pray, "Thy kingdom come." That is, "Dear Lord, continue to till our hearts with your law so we may always receive the word which you sow in us and we may bear fruit." As we pray, "Thy kingdom come," may we learn as quickly as the pilgrims did how good fruit is produced. That is, may the law of God always lead us to repentance. May the word of God always be sown in us and watered by our baptism. May our faith be nourished always by the sacrament, and may we always produce good fruit until the reaping comes, when our Lord brings us home. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the Te Deum.
We praise thee, O God, we acknowledge thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship thee, the Father everlasting. To thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the power therein. To thee cherubim and seraphim, all the world.
Continue with the prayer, beginning with the Kyrie. O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. We pray the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We are bold to pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Vouchsafe, O Lord, this day, to keep us without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us, as our trust is in thee. O hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son, and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we beseech you so to implant your word in us that, in good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith by patient continuance and well-doing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Most heartily we beseech you so to rule and govern your Church Catholic with all her pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, whereby faith toward you may be strengthened, love and charity increased in us toward all mankind, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to Donald, our President, the Congress of these United States, Kim, our Governor, the legislature of this state, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after your good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May it please you also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and hostilities, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for your name's sake, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Especially this day do we pray for all those we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat you, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, But out of your unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with your blessing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, mighty God, your word will not return to you empty, but will accomplish your purpose in sending it. By your Holy Spirit, make our hearts good soil for your word to be planted, that we may give evidence of a sturdy faith and show forth in our lives the good works you have called us to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes, when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power, and receive us into your everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, might be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let us pray together. We give thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech thee to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please thee. Into thy hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let thy holy angel have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We conclude our matin service with hymn 923 from the Lutheran Service Book, Almighty Father, Bless the Word. Thank you to all who joined us on the podcast for this week, whether you are near or far. And we'll be back again next week for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, proper 11a, where we will hear Christ teach and explain to us the parable of the weeds. Now, next week, I will be on vacation with my family. We will still be publishing a Matins podcast, but it will be released on Monday morning instead of Sunday morning. And while I will still be on the podcast doing the readings, which I'm recording a week early, the sermon will be given by our good friend, Pastor Glenn Bomer. So be sure not to miss out on hearing Pastor Bomer next Monday when we publish the podcast. May you in this week find time to rest in the Word where Christ sows the Word of the Kingdom into our hearts. We encourage all of our listeners to look us up on Facebook under Christ the King Lutheran Church or CTK Spencer. If you enjoyed this service, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast, tell a friend, or leave a review on Apple Podcasts or however you listened. If you would like to be on our mailing list for these podcasts or would like to leave feedback, you can contact us on Facebook or the email addresses at the top of the bulletin included in a link on this podcast. All the music, or at least all the hymns for today, come from smallchurchmusic.org. That's all for this week. Until next time, go forth and serve the Lord. I am Pastor Michael McGinley, signing off.